The scripture reading comes from Galatians 1, 1 through 12 this morning. From Paul, an apostle who is not sent from human authority or commissioned through human agency, but sent through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and from all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave himself for our sins so that he could deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of God and our Father. To God be the glory forever and always. Amen. I'm amazed that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ to follow another gospel. It is not really another gospel, but certain people are confusing you and they want to change the gospel of Christ. However, even if ourselves or heavenly angels should ever preach anything different from what we preach to you, they should be under a curse. I'm repeating what we've said before. If anyone preaches something different from what you received, they should be under a curse. Am I trying to win over human beings or God, or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be Christ's slave. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the gospel I preached isn't human in origin. I didn't receive it or learn it from a human. It came through a revelation from Jesus Christ. This is the word of God.
Thank you. I want you to know the gospel that I preached did not come from human, but from the revelation of Jesus Christ. When I was a little kid, my brothers and I, we had a couple of things that we really desired a lot. We really wanted them a lot, and we coveted them. And one was ice cream, and the other was Coca-Cola. We wanted them. We wanted the really good ice cream, though. You know, the kind of really rich, sweet, buttery, fatty kind that you can't get enough of, you know, that leaves that kind of coating on your tongue, that kind of ice cream. And as far as Coke went, we wanted Coke, you know. Just as bottle or the can, it didn't matter as long as it had that super carbonated bite to it, you know, that really molasses-y sugariness, you know, that Coke has. We wanted those things. We desired them because they were so good. And we coveted them because we didn't get them very often. And we didn't get them very often because of two things, neither of which we had any control over: geography and parentage. Geography, because we lived out in the country and the stores were not close by. And parentage, because it was my dad's job to go to town and get these kinds of things. And he was cheap. So we never got the really rich and sweet and good ice cream. We got carnation imitation ice milk. And we never got Coke either. You know what we got? Does anybody want to take a guess? Shasta. Exactly. Shasta. I don't even think they make imitation ice milk anymore. But if I had to describe it, I would describe it like this. It's kind of like if you took what's left over in the bottom of the bowl when you have real ice cream, you know, that soup, and then you put like 50% more water in it, and then you freeze it. That would be imitation ice milk. And Shasta, you know, I mean, people like it. It's okay, I suppose. But it just didn't have that kick, you know. It's not the real thing. It's not the real thing. And we wanted the real thing, ice cream and Coke. And we didn't get it that often. It's just the way it was. But I say that my dad bought carnation imitation ice milk and Shasta because it was cheap. And that was true. But there was another reason, too, a couple. One, they were popular brands, so they were everywhere. You could get them easily. So they were easy to get. They were cheap. And they were popular. And that really factored into my dad's decision making. Truth be told, it figures into most of our decision making when it comes to lots of things. Is it easy? Is it cheap? Is it popular? Any one of those things factors pretty heavily in our decisions in life, don't they? And if you have all three of those things going, decisions kind of made. Easy, cheap, and popular. Which might be okay. We're talking about snack foods or where to have lunch or something like that. But when you start talking about the issues that face us in our culture that we wrestle with, the issues in our church that we wrestle with, we start talking about how it is we ought to be following God, easy, cheap, and popular may not be the best places to start. Principle might figure in, and probably ought to figure in. The Apostle Paul was trying to push the Galatians towards that kind of thinking. The Galatians were the people he wrote that letter to, people he met when he established a church in Galatia. And the thing about it was, Paul was kind of like my dad. He would go to these places and he would bring the goods, you know. But whereas my dad never brought the real thing, Paul only brought the authentic, real word from Jesus. The authentic message of forgiveness and of grace and of reformation of the heart. He brought that good news. He brought that gospel with him wherever he went. But as it happened, whenever he would leave one of those locations, like we talked about last week, after he would leave one of those churches that he established, some other person would come in behind him. And they would start to twist his teachings. They would start to teach something different. And a lot of times, the people that Paul had just left would start to follow those teachers because it was easier, because it was cheaper, and because it was more popular. Paul brought the good news. He brought the real thing. But the people would go after the imitation. He says it this way. He says, I'm amazed, talking to this church. He says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ to follow another gospel. He's amazed. And then he goes on to remark that those teachings that they're getting, those teachings that they're accepting, they're not a gospel at all. They're not good news at all. Gospel means good news. They're not good news. And they weren't. They were repackaged old news. And while they may have been easier and cheaper and more popular, they weren't the real thing. They weren't the revolutionary good news that Paul brought, that Jesus preached and Paul delivered. The good news. And the good news that he brought was fantastic. God had come into the world in Jesus in order to wipe away the barriers of sin and rebellion and guilt that always stood between people and God. And that now, any person, regardless of their race, regardless of their sex, regardless of their social standing, any person could become a son or daughter of God, could be reconciled to God. All they needed to do was reject sin, believe on the name of Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit would come into that person and give that person a new life of peace within themselves and peace with God. That was the good news that Paul was bringing. That's the good news that Jesus brought. It was fantastic. The Apostle John, who hung out with Jesus, one of Jesus' friends, stayed with Jesus throughout Jesus' entire ministry, heard every word he said, watched every move that Jesus made. John was there when Jesus was crucified, when they discovered that the tomb was empty, and when they saw that he had been raised again from the dead. John was there. John knew Jesus, and he described the good news this way. And you all know this. For God so loved the world, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he goes on, and this is so important. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. In other words, Jesus, this is the good news. I mean, Jesus didn't come to point fingers at all of us, to berate all of us, to keep pointing out over and over how bad we are, how far short of God's goodness we fall, how far short of our own standards we fall. No, he came first and foremost to be a bridge between us and God, to be that bridge, and then to come alongside us by his Holy Spirit and enable us to do good, to be better, to fight the sin that's within us, to fight the sin that's in the world, to be more holy, to be more like the way that God envisions us to be. To be the people that God envisions us to be, the real thing. Enlivened by this real principle of the gospel, the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh my goodness. This is why he came. And this is the good news that Paul preached. And he preached it for all people. He says in this letter, he says, you are all God's children through faith in Jesus Christ. All of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. You put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male or female. You're all one in Christ Jesus. Barriers are just being broken down. And that's good news. For everybody, who could argue with that? But here's who could argue with that. All those teachers who came up along behind Paul. That's the thing they objected to. Can you believe this? That's what they objected to. They didn't accept that what Jesus brought in his good news, that reconciliation, that reconciling good news. They didn't believe that Jesus meant for that to be for all people. Those teachers that would come in behind Paul, they wanted to keep in place old rules that separated people, that separated Jews from Gentiles, basically. They wanted to take the good news and then place upon it all these old rules that set up barriers between people and God. And these were the rules. These were the cultural rules. Rules set by men in the religious culture of the time. Those were the rules that Jesus wanted to break down so that all people could come to God through Christ. So Paul had this real thing. He had this real message, this satisfying, rich, good news from Jesus. And the other teachers who came along behind him, they had this substandard imitation. But hear this, the people started going after the imitation because it was easier and because it was cheaper and because it was more popular. It was easier because that was the religious culture of the day. Because the pressure to go along with that culture was intense. It was easier. What Jesus was bringing was demanding that people go against the nature of the culture and create a new culture under God. That's hard to do. So it was easier to go along with the old ways, the way that it had always been. It was cheaper. It was cheaper because to go against the grain of the culture was to invite what? Persecution, harassment, approbation. those teachers that came in behind Paul, you know, they weren't coming into those churches and saying, oh, you know, maybe it's okay, maybe you should try, or maybe you ought to think about putting those old rules back on to your Christian thing. No, they were demanding it. They wanted that back in. They wanted that separation between Jew and Gentile back in. And they meant to enforce it. Paul had been one of those guys, remember? Paul was the number one enforcer at one time. He was the guy that would come in and break up churches and put people in prison for doing this, for going by the gospel of Jesus Christ, meant for everyone. Ooh. Oh, yeah. So to go against that, man, that was hard. And it was expensive to one's life. So it was easier, it was cheaper to go along with the false teachers, to go along with the culture. And it was more popular. Because it's human nature to want to go along with the flow, right? It's human nature to want to go along with the flow. So Paul had his work cut out for him. And if you look at the back end of the Bible, I mean, if you look at Paul's letters back there, almost every one is about this kind of stuff. It's about writing to the churches that he established, the churches that he brought the pure good news of redemption through Jesus Christ for all people, bringing that news to them, writing back to them and saying, what are you doing? Why are you going back to the old ways? Why are you being enslaved to the old ways when I just brought you this message of freedom in Christ? Go to the end of the Bible, take a look at it. It's all over the place. But you know what? He never stopped doing it. He never stopped writing. He never stopped speaking. He never stopped trying to come up with new ways to explain this good news in order to bring more people in. Those who opposed him, to try and help them understand that just going along with what's popular may not be the right thing to do, that maybe to stand for the principles of Christ is what's needed. So has much changed between then and today? Maybe not. Maybe not. You know, we don't have people coming into our churches and, you know, threatening us to change our doctrines or to stand down from our principles. But we have pressure from other quarters, don't we? We have pressure from the media. We have pressure from the government. We have pressure from educational establishment, from movies, from books, articles. There's that pressure. Pressure to go along with the flow of the culture. And it's hard, you know, because many of those voices are sincere and smart and good people. And the issues that we struggle with are really going to the core of our daily lives, right? Marriage and family and sexuality. How we make our living, the great disparity between the poor and the rich, patriotism, our country, to whom we really owe our allegiance, to what extent do we owe our allegiance to our country or to Christ? Where are those lines? These are all really complex issues that we need to wrestle with. We need to wrestle with them and think them through. Lest we go the easy way and the cheap way and the popular way and just sort of float along with the culture. And listen, none of those voices ought to be dismissed either. We should be listening to other people's points of view. But at the same time, we have to be so cautious, don't we? Because we want to stand on principle. We want to stand on the principle of the good news of Jesus Christ. We also don't want to get pulled away, distracted. We don't want to start becoming wrapped up in imitation gospels. It's good to ask ourselves, I think, every day, are we, any of us, enslaved to any imitation gospel? The gospel of consumerism that says the most important thing is what we have and what we get and what we possess. The imitation gospel of status, our achievements, the achievements of our kids. The imitation gospels. We have to ask ourselves, are we servants of God? Or are we actually devotees of these imitation gospels that are really centered on our politics or on our lifestyles? Things that are really of men and not of God. Paul says, am I trying to win over human beings or God? Am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I wouldn't be Christ's slave. In the end, we have to be Christ's slave. We have to be Christ's servant. And we have to question ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves and see if we might be drifting into some of those imitation gospels, becoming wrapped up in other gospels. But here's the thing, as slaves of Christ, as servants of Christ, we really only have one gospel. Luckily, it's a great gospel. It's the best one. And it's the one that brings freedom. It's the one that brings truth. It's the one that brings joy. It's the one that says that God sent Jesus into this world to break down the barriers of sin, the barriers of rebellion, the barriers of guilt that stand between us and God. The gospel that says that anyone, regardless of race, regardless of sex, regardless of social status, regardless of past deeds, regardless of present shame, everyone, all people, can be sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus and all that's needed to be reconciled to God. All that's needed to be reconciled to God is a desire to reject sin, believe on the name of Jesus, and be empowered by that Holy Spirit to be better, to do good, to fight the sin that's in us and the sin that's around us, to be more loving, to be more holy, to be the kinds of people that God imagines us to be. The real thing. The real thing. Standing on the principle of the gospel of freedom and grace and forgiveness brought by Christ. Let's pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, this is your world. You are in charge of it. We are your people, and you've placed us here to steward it for you. Help us, O God, to be faithful stewards of this place. Help us to be ministers of reconciliation. Help us to be the people who bring other people into that glorious truth that you are waiting with your arms open to love them, to guide them, to be with them and us now and into eternity. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.